This is Greg-o-ween. Everybody make a Greg. Trick or treat until the neighbors die of Greg. It's our Greg. Everybody scream. In this town of Greg-o-ween. What was that?
You can tell by the perplexed look on my face, I'm not familiar with that song.
You never saw The Nightmare Before Christmas?
No.
Well, then you're effing up.
The Nightmare Before Christmas?
You are effing up.
Who's in that? Is it like a claymation thing?
Yeah. It's great.
I don't think I saw it.
I guarantee you didn't see it.
How old is it?
Like 90s, 2000s?
Oh, yeah, then I never saw it.
It's a classic.
Anything 90s, 2000 can't be really considered a classic.
Yes, you can.
I don't think so.
Nightmare Before Christmas is a classic.
Nightmare on My Street, that was a classic.
No, that was terrible.
It's a great song.
No, it's not.
Nightmare on Elm Street, classic.
Yes, the first one.
Freddy versus Jason?
No.
Not classic.
From a desk in the Yay Network Studios, where an actual radio show happens. It's the Greg and Greg Show with Greg and, of course, Greg. Take it away, Gregs.
What up? It's the Greg and Greg Show. I'm Greg Jake.
I am, who did that? That wasn't, Danny Elfman. I'm Danny Elfman.
Hi, Danny Elfman.
He's bing, made, bong,
he's,
bing,
he's
bong,
done a lot of soundtracks.
Everything that he does has that kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong. I'm Danny Elfman.
What do you think is going on inside Danny Elfman's head?
Let me tell you. Bing bong, bing bong, Halloween, 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 Halloween. That's what's going on in Danny Elfman's head at all times.
Because I'm under the assumption that everybody has a rhythm inside their head. You know what I mean? Like, so if you tap on something, you drum a specific sound every time.
Right, drum a sound.
Mine's always like. I do that all the time.
Mine's always.
Yeah, that's fine. See, that's everybody funny. Has that. They have a drum beat in their head at all times, and then you try to deviate from it, but then you end up going right back to the original drum beat.
Well, that's where the saying "everybody's marching to the beat of their own drum"
right.
comes from.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Danny Elfman, his is all
bing bong, bing bong, beep boop 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 boop.
So last night, I actually have a funny story to tell.
Oh no.
I got home, got to the house, got the kids, got the wife, jumped in the car, drove over to this country club that Erica's parents are a part of. And it's in the neighborhood where Erica grew up. And they were having this big unveiling of their new clubhouse, right? So they had done all this remodeling, rebuilt all this thing, built this really kick-ass patio, redid the bar, reworked some of the inside stuff, and they had set up a center for the kids to go play. So you could drop your kids off over at this one area, and then you could go down, and you could see all this fancy renovation that they've done. So we're sitting there, we're eating these little bitty mini tacos, and an old coworker of mine, Missy, comes walking around the corner. I'm like, hey, Missy, what's up? So she and I get to chit-chatting a little bit, and she says, are you guys going to stick around to see Pat Green? The country great, country icon, Pat Green, is going to be playing a little acoustic set there. And I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea that Pat's going to be here. So we go about the evening. We
I
get
have
some
a feeling
drinks.
I know where this is going.
You don't. Get some drinks. We're hanging out. Some of our friends show up. And we're sitting there, and Missy and her mom got a table right in front of where Pat was going to perform.
Question, can Missy stand the rain?
It's not Missy Misdemeanor Elliot.
It's not?
No.
It's not Earth Flip It Dip It Plant Yant?
That's what's in her head.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Oh my God, I would go nuts if that was running in my head over and over and over.
Continue.
So we sit down. It's about time for Pat to come on, and I'm probably about, I don't know, 7 RAR and Sons in by this time because they were free. Everything was free last night. So I'm sitting there at the table. Pat starts up. And I mean, I'm literally from me to, I don't know, the couch from Pat Green.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of taking requests, and Erica yells a song at him, and he's like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So he plays the song, and he gets through, you know, he probably plays about 6-7 songs. Mm-hmm. So he's done. And I wanted to just go say hi, because I have this backstory with Pat Green. And I don't think I've ever told you this.
Is this a tragic backstory?
Not at all. First time I met Pat Green was in 1998 at a college in Wichita Falls, and he played just in the cafeteria. So I met him there. Hey, Pat, I'm Greg. Nice to meet you. I work in radio in Dallas. Oh, yeah, cool, man. Make it through Dallas all the time. Next time I met him, I was working for a radio station here in town, 99.5 The Wolf, and we sat on an airplane together. Pat and I. I was here. My boss was there. Pat was a seat over. So we chit-chatted on a plane to Memphis. All right?
Mm-hmm. I go walking in Memphis.
So that's another run-in with Pat.
Mm-hmm. That's two Pats.
My third run-in with Pat was in New Orleans for my bachelor party. Okay?
Didn't you run into Ludacris, too?
That was another story.
Okay, continue.
So I'm at my bachelor party. I'm at the hotel. I'm waiting for my buddies to come in. And I see Pat, and he's coming down an escalator, and I make a beeline over to him. Not really a beeline, but I see him, so I wanted to just go say hi.
C-line or a D-line.
So I wanted to go say hi. So I started to get close, and he could see me approach. He sees me approaching, and he grabs his phone, and he holds it up to his face.
Oh.
Like, oh, here comes somebody, so I'm going to start talking.
He phoned you.
And so I was like, well, that's awkward, so I kind of had to divert my path to make it look like I wasn't going to go say hi to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, there we were again. So the show's over,
mm-hmm.
and I go up to Pat. I'm like, hey, man. And I said Jake. I used my name Jake because that's how he would have known me from the time from our interactions with the radio station
mm-hmm.
and our airplane flight to Memphis together. So I'm like, hey, man, I'm Jake. I used to work at The Wolf. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. I was like, it's kind of funny because I have this on-running joke about how I run into you all the time, and every time I do, you don't remember who I am. And he was like, wait, where's the joke? I was like, well, the joke is that I see you in these random places, and I always come up and I say hi to you, but yet you never remember who I am each time. And he was like, so that why is that a joke? I was like, well, it's not really a joke. It's just funny that I've met you like 4 or 5 times, and every time you're like, what? Who are you? And he was like, well, I guess sometimes you just stop giving a shit, don't you? And I was like, I guess you do. And then I shook his hand and I walked away and I tucked my tail and I went back and I sat down at the table with Erica and she's like, what were y'all talking about? Because he had this really weird look on his face. And I was like, I think I just confused the shit out of him. And he thinks I'm a complete idiot.
You know what the joke was in that? I'll give you a hint.
Okay, what?
Sitting right in front of me. That's the joke. You.
So yeah, so I started to think about it because I thought it would be a funny story to tell him. Like, hey man, hey, I think it's hilarious that I've met you like 6 times.
You were a drunk idiot going, hey, you know it's funny that you don't remember me. I'm so memorable. You know how many people meet him?
And that's what I told him. I said, I know you've met a bajillion people, but I think it's funny that I've met you 5 or 6 times.
And he's just like, yeah. Sure.
We flew on an airplane together, and we had conversation on an airplane.
He went.
You would think that, like, a flight from here to Memphis, which is about an hour and a half flight,
mm-hmm.
you'd think, like, in having conversation with somebody for an hour and a half, and, you know, he recorded sweepers for me, he recorded liners for me, he was at the radio station all the time, I've introduced him on stage, like, I've been around the guy 1,000 times.
Do you think that to him, you're just white noise?
I'm sure.
He just tones you out completely, like you're that unmemorable.
Yes.
That he's just like,
he's like, man, I'm Pat Green.
I'm Pat Green.
I don't have time.
You know, I remember people, but not this guy.
Maybe if I actually brought something to the table, because that's what Erica was saying. She's like, why didn't you just try to have like a regular conversation with the guy instead of trying to make him feel like an idiot for never remembering you? And I was like, well, that wasn't my point. I just wanted to share with him the fact that I think it's funny that I've met him so many times and he never remembers me.
Well, to change your story to a different story.
Because you're over it.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Pat, I'm sorry.
Back when I worked at 92.3, Rihanna came in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a nice conversation, showed each other our tattoos, chatted it up.
Did she have a tattoo of Barbados on her?
No, she did not have a tattoo of Barbados. But we talked about a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
Then the next time she came back, she walked right up to me and went, "You're still here?" And gave me a big hug and talked about what we had talked about.
That's awesome.
So, your Pat Green story, sorry, bud. And I just met her once.
Man, I'm a loser. I'm a total loser.
You just fade into the background. You're basically wallpaper.
Yeah, but if it weren't for me, he wouldn't have a career. Because I
what?
I found him. I started playing him on the radio first.
You personally picked out his song. You found him and you played him on the radio.
Uh huh.
After your programmer said, "Hey, play this."
Well, yeah.
So no, it could have been anybody else.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, bud.
Well, anyway.
And then I met Justin Bieber. I called him a little shit. And then he remembered me by having his bodyguard throw me up against a wall.
Yeah, well, that's pretty awesome. I think that when you call somebody a little shit, you're always going to be remembered.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I should have done with Pat.
Maybe.
Should have been like, "Hey, Pat, you're a complete asshole."
You should, after he said, "Well, sometimes you don't give a fuck." And then you should have said, "You know what? Fuck you too, dude."
Yeah, but, you know, he's such a nice guy. He's so nice and likable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't say stuff like that to Pat
Green. He just went, "This Greg Jake.
He's going to remember
me
now."
There, you know what? He went home and he just went, "That guy still thinks I don't know who he is. I know exactly who he is. I just hate him."
So the joke is actually being played by Pat.
Yes.
Oh!
Pat's doing the double reverse flip around.
Oh, man.
He's double Shyamalaning it.
Oh, Pat. Why are you doing this
home,
to me?
He goes home. He's got a picture of you and he's just like, it's like an
there
X crossed over your face. It's like, "I hate this guy."
Oh.
So then, like, when he saw you at the airport, he did that on purpose, because he knew anybody else, he would have been fine with it, but he saw that it was you, and he's like, "God, I don't want to talk to this guy." Then he's stuck in a room with you, and he has to talk to people, so now he's just going to be like, "I'll just say I don't know him," and then the next time he sees me, I'm going to still not know him. It'll drive him nuts.
It does. It drives me crazy. It's like, how many times do you have to meet somebody before they, like, acknowledge that you are in existence?
Well, good work, Pat Green. Keep up your ruse, your clever ruse on Greg Jake. Hey.
Anyway, I felt really stupid because Erica was like, "Why don't you just have like a normal conversation with the guy? Like, hey, you know, since you're part of this country club and we're part of this country club, like, maybe we should go play golf. Or, you know, when you're in town, why don't you come up to the Craddock Studios and you can hang out up there and you can see what we do. Or you could be on, I do a podcast. Why don't you come be on my podcast? Why don't you talk music with the guy because you love music?" She's like, "Why do you have to bring up the stupid how many times you've met the guy conversation?"
Because that's who you are.
And then Erica said, "You're socially awkward." Like, what?
Seven raw Greg.
Free raw Greg.
Free raw Greg. Not the most coherent person. Sorry, bud.
The rars were flowing, though.
Sorry, dude.
Love you, Fritz, for the raw beers. Anyway, yeah, that was my story from last night. Oh, and then Erica told me that if I don't replace the toilet paper in the bathroom on our divorce papers, that's going to be the lead reason.
Irreconcilable differences.
Did not replace the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Would you use that divorce paper as toilet paper?
You know what? That's a great point. I'd be like, "You know what? I'm taking all the toilet paper. You can use these divorce papers."
You could print your divorce paper to her on toilet paper, then present her with it at court.
That would be awesome.
Have the dude come by and be, you know, the guy who's like, "Are you Greg J. Gibbons?" And you'd be like, "Yeah." And then he hands you the thing. You've been served. And then he walks away.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do that to somebody.
I know.
With a manila folder.
Yeah.
And you don't show it to them. And then you're just kind of like, "Hey, are you Greg J. Gibbons?" And you're just like, "Yeah." Boom, you've been served. And then you walk the F away.
Just turn and just walk out.
It's like, I got nothing else to say to you.
Right. I mean, there's really nothing you can say.
You've been served.
Yeah. Because you're like, "Wait, what? What?"
And the guy's
like,
"What does that mean?" He's like, "I don't know. Just, dude,
hey, look, I was told to bring these papers. You've been served.
I was told to find you and give you this. I was given no other information."
Right. So don't talk to me, bro.
Call your lawyer.
Yeah. Call Paula Locksmith.
Call Dorothy Mulhy Hyde. Or she changed her name, and her face is less weird. I think her Botox wore off a little bit. You've seen the commercials for that weird girl?
I haven't seen that one, no.
Look for the commercials for Dorothy Hyde.
Okay.
Or Dorothy Mulkey. I don't know what she changed her name to, but she's got like the very plastic face.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, "Ha, I'm Dorothy Hyde. If you get in an accident, put me in your phone." So just put in the name lawyer, and you can have a lawyer in case you need one. I can't hold it for very long. Hurry up, take a picture.
All right, I get it. I got probably the best picture I've ever taken of you ever.
Yeah, well, that's
hilarious.
That's how her face is.
She's got crazy plastic face, huh?
It's like frozen. It's stuck. And she's just like, "Ah, Dorothy Hyde, I'll out resent you. I'd rather have the Texas Hammer."
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that guy.
Texas Hammer. Dorothy Hyde. Yeah, there we go. Dorothy Hyde. See if they got any commercials. Like, she's a...
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Videos.
She's a girl who's... she's pretty, but she's definitely had too much work. See, look at how tight her face is pulled.
Yeah. I've never seen this lady. I guess because you get to go home a little bit earlier than I do.
This plays all day, and it plays during football games. It plays all the time. It shows like a car accident. "Hi, I'm Dorothy Hyde." That's her before plastic surgery. She looks great. Well, she's still got some work done. But her face is not the same as that one.
Right, yeah. She looks completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, her face is moving a little bit there.
A hot blonde lawyer in Texas? Come on now. No, people are going to call her. You need to have her in that suit. Like, not in the black dress.
"The Barracuda will fight for you, Attorney Dorothy M. Hyde."
This isn't one of the new ones.
No. Let's see.
Yep, there she is.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at her. She's getting work done there.
Yeah.
It's like she's struggling to speak.
She is. Like, what's wrong with her? Why did she do that? She was pretty
before. She was really pretty. And she got her face pulled all the way back.
Oh, Dorothy. What'd you do? What'd you do?
Look at all that plastic surgery.
Man, this is a woman who's struggling with her own identity.
Click the one at the top right. Oh, Jesus.
Like, she looks like a crazy deranged robot.
Yeah. I see this commercial all the time. I'm like, what happened to your face, Dorothy? The one top right. Top right.
This one.
Click that one. Look at that.
Mm. You're not doing yourself any favors, Dorothy. Come on, sweetie.
And there's nothing she could do about it at this point.
Right.
Because once you commit to the plastic surgery and it goes bad, if you do more, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you type in Dorothy Hyde and there's all these pictures of her along the top two rows of images. And then suddenly it just goes to 190-year-old old women.
Yeah. And
Dorothy Hyde.
"Hello, I'm Dorothy Hyde.
I'm your attorney.
I made ginger snaps for the prosecution."
Look at her.
No,
I feel so bad.
I do too. I feel
people
bad.
People don't
her.
Do plastic surgery. It's still not fixed. It's still not good yet. They
right.
still haven't gotten it down.
No.
It still like looks weird.
You would think in this day and age that they would have They would have figured it out.
You know, like, they kind of figured out hair plugs.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of figured it out. It doesn't look as weird as it used to.
Right.
Because back in the day, it just kind of looked like you had
weird
sprouts on your head.
Yeah.
Now they kind of got it.
Yeah.
Like, it's to the point where if you get it, you're just going to be like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Real hair
real
or
hair
plugs?
Plugs.
Whoa.
Whoa, good work on that.
Yeah.
That looks good.
Good plugs.
But like, most plastic surgery is not...
It's like they stretch your face back and then freeze it.
It looks weird. Don't do it.
Yeah,
it does look weird. Don't do it.
Yeah. All right.
Did you see that there's going to be a new Pee-wee movie?
I did.
With Judd Apatow directing?
Yes.
I'm so excited.
I know. I saw Pee-wee on Jimmy Fallon the other day. And they were talking about that, and he was saying that Spielberg might have something to do with it.
Spielberg has his hand in every movie.
I know.
I think ever made.
Right.
He also has his hand in Falling Skies, and that's absolute garbage.
He's just trying to... Dude, he's cash grabbing.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to go scorched earth, I think.
He's done enough good movies where if he just puts his name on something, people are like, oh, it's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
That's the only sell. He's a selling point now.
But don't you think that that kind of waters down some of his greatness now?
I think people are still like, it's a name. Mm-hmm. You still recognize the name more than you recognize his work now. You're like, oh, Steven Spielberg.
But soon he's going to attach his name to a bunch of failing projects and people are going to be like, oh, that was a Spielberg project.
Well, he's not at M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah, I got to plastic face it. It's not like we're Shyamalan. If he attaches his name to something, you're like, ugh.
Ew, Signs was about it, buddy.
And Signs was the worst movie.
I loved that one.
That one was terrible.
It was better than all the other ones he's done.
Better than Unbreakable? No. Better than The Sixth Sense? Absolutely not.
Sixth Sense, yes, okay. I didn't realize that was a Shyamalan Ding Dong
movie. That was
his
first real Shyamalaning.
Oh, okay.
He did The Sixth Sense. He did Unbreakable, which both of those I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Then he did Signs, and I was like, you're an alien who can't have water, but you go to a planet that's all water.
Hey, look, sometimes aliens make mistakes.
No, they don't.
Yeah. They're alien, too, you know?
They've conquered space travel. If you've conquered interstellar space travel, you're not going to be like, hey, that stuff will kill us. And there's a lot of it.
That's why they didn't land in the water. They landed on land. And they don't. You don't know. You don't know what another planet's going to do when you go there. Like, how do we know that we can't go to Mars and get out of our spacesuits? How do we know there's not oxygen there?
Because we've sent probes there, and they haven't found oxygen.
Well, that's not a proven scientific fact.
No, it is.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty much guaranteeing the Mars rover has proved that there's no oxygen on Mars because it doesn't have an atmosphere.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I need to see literature on that.
Just Google it. I think you could just Google it. Is there oxygen on Mars?
Not going to Google that.
Yeah, because
we know.
Because you'll be proved wrong immediately.
All right, go home. It's the weekend. So, happy Halloween, everybody. Go check out the website, thegregregshow.com. Have a safe weekend. Eat a lot of candy. Don't get too fat. And boom out.
Join us next time on the Greg and Greg Show. Things will probably be just as weird.